The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world. And the best way to pick up the streams, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Just like it sounds, Martha Norwalk, N-O-R-W-A-L-K. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Well, it's an interesting Sunday morning, an interesting collection of weather. It was supposed to be really awful and rainy and thunder and lightning and all that sort of stuff. And I think there has been some rain and stuff this morning. And now there's a little sun out, but a lot of gray clouds. And who knows what's going to happen. I wore my raincoat today and yesterday when I walked the dog for the first time in I don't know how long. All right. Lonely day in the studio. All I have to look at is production engineer Gary Hill across the table. Hey, Gary.
That's unfortunate for you.
Well, no, you actually look quite nice.
And oh, thanks.
Except you have your cougar shirt on.
I know.
Jacket.
Win or lose, I'm still very proud.
Yeah. Well, speaking of football, what did you think of the game yesterday?
UW game?
Yeah.
I didn't see much of it.
Was there any other? You're the sports guy, and you didn't watch the game.
I saw bits and pieces.
Well, I was well aware of the game and could not help but aware of the game because it happens to be in my backyard. And well, I had a wonderful day yesterday to start with. I had a speaking engagement, and I spoke at I hope I get this right. The International Association of Animal Massage and Body Workers was in town. And I was speaking about talking to animals and the human-to-animal transference. And it was downtown Seattle and had a phenomenal time. It was really, really great. And there were people from all over the country there. It was really a great time. And it was sponsored by, or at least in part, by Lola Michelin and the Northwest School of Animal Massage, one of our Animal World advertisers. And so it was great to see Lola. I got to meet Lola's husband, Gary. So now I know Lola's other half. And just had a super time. And then after, remind me to tell you about what happened before I spoke. But after my talk, I headed back to my neighborhood. Well, you know, and I thought, well, maybe I'd be okay since, you know, I got done about 4:30 and headed back, and the game didn't start till 7:30.
Oh yeah, but
there was no getting close to me. Even at that time. I mean, 520 was jammed up both directions. I ended up going across the lake, turning around, coming back, and heading north on I-5 so I could sneak back in the back door. And then I had to figure out a creative way because I had grocery shopping to do and picking up animal supplies and so forth. So I had to be very creative. When you live in that neighborhood, you learn how to go the opposite direction of traffic. So it's like going around the block and turning right a lot. Mm-hmm. So you're not going towards Husky Stadium.
Yeah.
And then I was quite surprised because when the game first started, I was out walking Annie Golden playing ball with her. And of course, if the stadium, if the fans are happy about something and they cheer, it, like, you know, Laurelhurst likes, it like moves the earth. And there was a lot of cheering going on. I thought, well, that's a little strange because, you know, I mean, the Huskies haven't had a team for quite, well, they haven't won a game, I heard, since November of 07.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
But, you know, they actually did pretty well. So I don't, if you missed it, they actually played very well. And I think they had, well, they really dominated the first half of the game, which was quite amazing. So there'll probably be some decent action this year with the Huskies. You know what lesson that I'm going to get in trouble now because with the Husky fans. But oh well, I seem to do that a lot lately. you really can buy a football team.
Oh, did that come out of my mouth?
Well, you know, I have a little problem with where we choose to spend our money. And then when we choose not to, the powers that be choose to do it anyway, so.
They do have some big contracts.
Yeah, they spend a lot of money buying those coaches from UFC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just the head coach, the coordinator, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they brought, yeah. Anyway, so.
They haven't won a game yet, though. I wouldn't give them a.
Well, I don't know, but I'm going on record. Yes, Martha, you can buy a football team.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's appropriate, it's another thing entirely. Okay, back to the International Association of Animal Massage and Body Workers. I was the first speaker scheduled after lunch yesterday. So I got there a little early, and I was sitting at waiting until 2 o'clock, and lo and behold, and I'm just sitting in the back of the room, pops in the back door one of our Animal World friends and vets, Dr. Mike Saluski.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't realize it because I've been so busy with other things that I didn't really read all the stuff that they sent me, that he had spoken in the morning to this group. And so he snuck in the room, came down, sat next to me, and presented me with a wonderful gift. This may blow you what blew me away. Dr. Mike is a writer, and his other passion is writing novels. And this is his brand new book, his first book. It's coming out next month. And it's called Barn Politics. And he even has a pen name.
Yeah, I was just, that's not his name.
Philip Marshall.
I wish I had a pen name.
Philip Marshall, and I know that because I know why I picked Philip, because Philip means lover of horses. Then I was told that Marshall means server of horses. And
really?
So, yeah. So that,
that's
but
very
he's
cool.
Not hiding who he is, because on the back, see, there's a picture,
there's a picture
of Mike and who he is and all of that. Anyway, so I have an autographed copy, hot off the presses, the first copies of Barn Politics by Philip Marshall, who is our own Dr. Mike Saluski. So I wanted to give you guys a heads up. I'm going to read this as quickly as my eyeballs can, and
not during the show.
No, not during the show. But then, because as soon as he handed it to me, I said, well, looks like we need to do a show. We need to talk about the other half of Mike Saluski and the author and all of this. So I'm just, and then, of course, I opened my big mouth, and it looks like, and so he'll probably be here in October, I think, is the first open date we'll have.
Great.
And then I got home and thought, what if this book is terrible? Oh, no. What are we going to do then? Now, I can't imagine. He is such a brilliant guy and such a brilliant vet, and he is so gifted. And he got a publisher. He got the book published, so it's got to be good, right?
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I'm thinking about pen names now.
Yeah?
I think I may go with Chuck Estrada.
Chuck Estrada?
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, do you know what those words are? Is there a reason behind that? I mean, the Estrada, all I think about is those guys on motorcycles.
Chips,
and Chips. Chips. Is Eric Estrada, though.
Yes.
So where did Chuck come from?
Chuck Estrada was a pitching coach for the Tacoma Tigers in the 80s.
Oh.
Pretty fairly random.
Well, see, he didn't pick somebody else's name.
I know, but it's a really cool name.
Chuck Estrada.
Yeah.
Oh, I still want to Chuck. I think of Chuck at throwing the ball for him.
Oh, yeah. I'll work on it. I'll come up with something.
Yeah, I like the Estrada part. I'm not wild about the Chuck part.
But then I'd have to write something, I guess.
Well, you're going to have a pen name. I mean, that would indicate that you probably would write something. But you as the sports guy, since you can't even watch the games, I don't know. What are you going
to
write about?
Nothing to write about.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of nothing to write about, obviously there's still nobody chiming in from the other room. The studio is dark. Mm-hmm. That means that Sandy is still vacationing. The good news is, Gary, that you're off the hook for another week.
I know. It's very exciting.
Anything goes wrong, it's Sandy's fault.
Yep. That's why I'm planning on just mailing it in today.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, me too. I mean, it's my show, but, you know, I only take credit for the good stuff. Anything else is Sandy's fault. So, we will welcome her back next week. And this is unbelievable to me. Time is going so fast. It is the first Sunday of September already, and I should have said this is our Labor Day edition of Animal World. Can you believe it?
I know.
Bumper Shoot is going on this weekend. There's a reason why they called it Bumper Shoot. I guess it rains.
Apparently.
Yeah. But Anyway, it's the first Sunday of September, so that means Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the Human Compendium of Articles on the same subject. Dr. Al will be joining us after the bottom of the hour, and we will have the rest of the entire show. We will take your phone calls, and if you have human or animal medical care questions you want to discuss with Dr. Al, call in the second hour, the 10 o'clock hour of today's show, because in the 11 o'clock hour, what I've got scheduled, we started this last week, you know, when we were doing our Shelter Rescue Sanctuary show, we were talking to Betsy Lott from Mollywood Avian Sanctuary up in Bellingham. She was talking about all of the sick and misbehaving birds that they have in their sanctuary, and that's why it's a sanctuary and not an adoption center, because of these animals, or these birds are generally so messed up with their behavior and their physical ailments that they can't be adopted. So we had a little extra time last week, so I mentioned Dr. Al's protocol and the endocrine immune imbalance and the fact that we've got Peg, our listener in Olympia, who's actually applying the principles to her bird and is controlling what she feeds the bird, eliminating the foods that have estrogen in them, and has been able to severely cut down on the seizures that the bird had, and that perhaps understanding this would help Betsy with these birds. And of course Betsy was really excited and really wanted to get involved. So we are going to have a three-way conversation starting in the 11 o'clock hour with Dr. Al, Peg from Olympia, Betsy from Mollywood Avian Sanctuary, and we're going to see if Dr. Al and Peg can't help Betsy start solving some of these behavior and physical problems that she's having with the birds. And I think that would be really great, because we'll be able to follow up and see if just changing diet can make a big difference with these birds. So I'm excited about that. That'll be in the third hour of today's show at 11 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, we've got a tip running. It is Martha's four-step flea plan. If the hot weather this summer has gotten you in trouble with fleas and you would like to get rid of them on your animal friends and out of your environment without toxic chemicals, then stay tuned for Martha's four-step flea plan. We've got at 10:50 current events as usual, and a new pet of the week, the Nancy McKinney from King County Animal Care and Control. So, I think that's about everything we're covering today. And so I guess we'll start with follow-up as we go into animals in the news. Only one thing in the follow-up department, Gary. Oof. And I don't have the answer to this situation, but I'm sad to report the state of where we are at this point saddens me. Wolf killed as hunt begins in Idaho. Mm. And, you know, we have discussed this many times on the air, the reintroduction of wolves into Idaho, Montana, you know, around Yellowstone and on all of that. And we know from talking to Dr. Al, because Dr. Al owns property in Idaho and was retired there for a while doing a wildlife refuge and so forth before he went back into practice, and he, who has done wildlife rescue and rehab for so many years, even had to say that there is a problem with wolves in Idaho and that something needs to be done. And of course he had some thoughts about how to reintroduce in a better, more controlled way. I don't know what the answer is, but I would like to think that there's a better way than just sending people out there, crazed people out there, to kill wolves. And this was out of the Seattle Times, this article. Wolf killed as hunt begins in Idaho. Just listen to this, Gary. Hunters in Idaho began stalking gray wolves in a few districts in the central and northern mountains. Shortly after dawn, an Idaho real estate agent became the first to report a kill. Robert Malage of the lumber town of Kamia bagged an adult female from 25 yards away in the mountains near Loxa River, state officials said. And this is a quote. I just wanted to beat my buddies to the punch, but I didn't know I'd beaten everybody in the state, said the 34-year-old, who has hunted in Idaho for 22 years. Quote, it was really an adrenaline rush to have those wolves all around me howling and milling about after I fired the shot. God, I just, that feels like just a stab in the heart to me. I just, I don't know, some things I cannot relate to that attitude anymore. I wonder what has happened. We need to open our hearts. You know, if you can't do that if your heart is open. You just couldn't. All right. Well, fortunately, there is some better news and animals in the news, but we're going to take a break, take care of our advertisers and sponsors here for the first time in this hour. Then we'll come back, do animals in the news, the vets, good news about animals, and then get rolling on Vet Sunday. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, what I want you to do is mark your calendars, because the annual blowout sale at Jones & Company is coming up this month. It will be Saturday and Sunday, September, I believe, 26th and 27th. It is from 9 to 9 on that Saturday, 10 to 6 on the Sunday. Everything in the store pretty much is going to be on sale. I will be there Saturday from 11 to 2, and I am there just to meet you and answer your animal behavior training and healing questions for free, so I hope you'll come stop in. And just part of the deal, oh, there, go get this, Gary. Free popcorn, cotton candy, and espressos. Sign me up. I'll be at that espresso stand. Thank you very much.
That's not bad.
The first 100 people will get a coupon for $5 off. It's buy one, get another identical bag, you know, with all dog and cat food. Buy one, get another bag at 50% off. All freshwater fish and plants will be 50% off. All marine fish and inverts will be 30% off. All aquariums, including the hoods and the stand, will be sold at cost. I mean, it's unbelievable savings. So plan to join us at Jones & Company Pets. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers with happy, happy and healthy pets.
Call Karma Specialist and Metaphysical Mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people from around the globe to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays at 1 p.m. for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio on Thursdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150. And check out Robin's new Reiki Healing Energy Portal at robinalexis.com.
Canada Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest quality, all-natural, human-grade holistic products using the finest natural ingredients available, including vitamins and chelated minerals. Canada products are made the Canada way, with superior quality in every bag and can. 100% satisfaction guaranteed and 100% nutritionally guaranteed. Check out the new All Life Stages grain-free formula, 80% meat protein, 20% vegetables and fruit, and zero grains. Discover why dogs love Canada. Go to Canada.com for more information.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling on our Labor Day edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we will get to Vet Sunday towards the bottom of the hour. Right now, I'm just getting into animals in the news. Then we'll have the best good news about animals. And I want to remind you that today. Sandy is still cruising. She is not in the studio, so Gary is on double duty, both keeping the station on the air and doing all the technical work, but he's also got to answer the phones. So if you call into the show today, don't be surprised if your line just gets put on hold. That's all he can do while he's in the studio. You'll know your line has been answered when you hear the radio show playing in your ear, and then when he has a chance, like he just did right now, he'll slip into the other room and pick up the phone and chat with you. So be prepared to wait. And let's see, I've got an announcement here. This is interesting. Everything cool on the radio?
Yeah, just more shots. Telephone? That's all.
More shots?
Yeah. Vet shots, animal shots, the flyer thing.
Oh.
It's still.
Oh,
still
the thing we had last week.
Yeah.
It was, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So we're still looking for a mobile vet in Florida, are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
well, it is Vet Sunday. We will have a vet here. So when they call him, maybe we'll just put him on the air. Let him talk to Dr. Al. Okay. All right. Now here's the announcement. Public's help sought in locating dead orca calf. And this is here for us locally. If you see the dead carcass of a killer whale calf floating in the San Juan Island waters, the county's Marine Mammal Stranding Network wants you to contact them. I'll give you a phone number here. It's needed for research in diseases in the whale population. The floating dead whale calf was reported last Sunday by a private boater who said he saw it by Lawrence Point near Orcas Island. The Stranding Network recommends that if found, the carcass be tied to a boat fender or some object so it's easier to find. So if you've seen that floating carcass, call the Stranding Network at 800-562-8832. That's 800-562-8832. All right. Oh, some more sad news, Gary. The oldest dog died.
I saw that.
Did you see that? A wired-haired dachshund that held the record as the world's oldest dog has died at age 21. Chanel died Friday of natural causes at her owner's home on Long Island. The dog was only 6 weeks old when she adopted her from a shelter. I was kind of surprised that 21 was the oldest dog on living right at the moment, that at least that the powers that be know about. And I've certainly heard of a lot of cats older than 21.
I would have guessed older.
Huh?
I would have guessed older.
Yeah,
than
I would too. There's a cute picture of Chanel in the little dachshund coat. And, I don't get this. This is a photograph from the Seattle Times on Thursday. It says, one angler gets lucky. And it's a photograph of all these fish. The 11th Avenue Southwest Bridge over the east waterway of the Duwamish River is lined with anglers on Wednesday trying to lift a pink salmon from the schools of fish that pass as they mill around by the hundreds waiting to enter the winter or the river. And then one person in this lineup has gotten the fish. But, you know, I always kind of thought, I don't know, maybe anglers are just really gung-ho. But I always kind of thought people went fishing for kind of the peace and the, you know, the relaxation. But look at this photograph on that bridge. I mean, look at all those people.
Yeah,
they're lined shoulder to shoulder. There's a gazillion fishing poles. I mean,
I know exactly where that spot is too.
So what's up with that? I mean, do they do this all the time?
Yeah. Well, when I would ride my bike to work, I'd ride by them, and it's really fascinating because it's not what I think of fishing either. I think of quiet, serene, there with a family member or two, that sort of thing.
That's just not
people
it.
People lined up in the middle of the city.
It's kind of what's wrong funny. With this picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay. All right, and then the big news of the week, unless you've been under a rock, you know about this one, that there's a cougar on the loose over Magnolia Discovery Park area, and for only the third time in its history, Discovery Park has been closed, so the Department of Fish and Wildlife can try to trap this cougar. They have confirmed that it absolutely is a cougar, and people are seeing it in their driveways and wandering around the neighborhood. And our own Animal World Department of Fish and Wildlife folks are involved. And if you've seen Bruce Richards on the news, he's the one that's setting the traps. There even a photograph in the one of the articles this week of Mishka, our state's first Karelian bear dog, who confirmed the scent in the park, because Mishka does
yeah.
Alert on cougar scent. At any rate, as far as the last report, the last sighting was on Friday that I know of, and they've set two traps in the park, and they're hoping to catch this cougar, but as of the last news report I saw last night, they hadn't captured it yet, and the park is still closed. And, oh well, the weather's crummy anyway, so there you go.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild story.
All right, I think we'll just 86 the rest of this. Yep, and I'm not even going to mention that, because if you don't know it's in town, I don't want you to go anyway, so I'm not telling you about it. How about that? It's my show.
Playing down the law.
Yep. So we'll go with the last group of, and maybe it'll work on the weather today. It's time for the best good news about animals. All right. Yeah, it does now. I mean, we've been long enough without the horrendous hot weather that I'm good with the sunshine again. All right, let's see. First up in the best good news about animals. So this is kind of, I don't know if this is really, technically, I had to kind of scrape for good news this time, Gary. And this little article, Mount Rainier signs to tell of animals hit on the road. And the idea here is to make people aware of speeding and feeding animals, but paw print signs will go up in Mount Rainier National Park this weekend to recognize the animals that have been hit in the park by vehicles since 2007. And in the past 2 years, 225 animals have been reported to be hit by vehicles. The majority are squirrels and chipmunks, and this is probably only a drop in the bucket, because those are usually picked up by aerial predators and so forth quickly. So, and who reports a squirrel or chipmunk that gets hit?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought you might find it interesting to know that 3 bears were hit last year, 2 were killed, 7 deer have been struck. But here's the good news. The park is erecting 225 signs on the 95 miles of roadway in the park to alert people to this problem, that speeding in the park's not a good idea because you could hit animals, and that feeding animals from your cars, they want you not to do that because that attracts the animals to the road, keeps them coming back, and makes them more vulnerable.
Mm.
The only thing is the signs are only going to be up this weekend, so it's kind of like, why? What's the point? I don't know. Why not leave them up? And then a beautiful picture on the Northwest Friday section of the Times. New chick at the zoo. A Chilean flamingo chick hatched 9 days ago at Woodland Park Zoo is the first time the zoo has successfully hatched a Chilean flamingo. An additional 3 eggs are being artificially incubated and are expected to hatch within the next few days. But it's a really cute picture.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that adorable?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. What else have we got in the good news department here? Aha! The winner of the best good news about animals is a local story here.
Oh.
From the Humane Society. Press release this week. Compassionate animal lovers joined the Seattle Humane Society team to reach the highest number of adoptions in 1 month in the shelter's 112-year history for this August, this last month. In all, 598 dogs, cats, and critters were placed into homes of their own in the month of August. Is that amazing?
Yeah.
598 animals adopted out of the Humane Society. Biggest number ever. This marks the 9th month in a row of record-setting adoptions at Seattle Humane Society. And that's they keep the animals as long as it takes to find them a home. They are a no-kill. So, congratulations to the Humane Society for the best adoption records in their whole history. So let's hope that keeps it up. keep it up. So that wraps us up for the best good news about animals. And we're going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors again, the most important part of the show, because without them, there's no us. So please support our sponsors. And then we'll be back with Vet Sunday and Dr. Al Pluckner. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Darla Ruers wanted to be a veterinarian since the age of five. Always an empath, natural healer, and visionary artist, Darla wanted to give a voice to the animals and be their advocate on the most gentle, heart-centered, true-feeling way. Her interest in shamanism, plant medicines, and diverse healing forms led her to open the Ancient Arts Healing Arts Center for Pets and People located in Fremont. There is a very tangible link between the symptoms we see in animals and the people they live with, and Dr. Ruers treats the animals, helping their caretakers bring awareness to their part in the wellness. Darla teaches Qigong and art meditation to the humans to help them help their pets. A licensed veterinarian in Washington, Dr. Ruers has been certified in veterinary acupuncture and has practiced alternative therapies on domestic and exotic species since 2002. She has been doing house calls and office visits in the greater Puget Sound area since 2005. For more information, go to ancientartsvet.com or call 206-547-1025. That's 206-547-1025.
Join Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on 1150 AM. Brian Abker, Brian Bacon, Matt Zarter, and Gary Hill bring unique, entertaining, and thoughtful perspectives on Northwest sports and beyond. Visit sportstangle.com for more information. That's Sports Tangle, every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m.
Robin Alexis has channeled a new energy portal called the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. You can check out the information about this new energy portal on her website, robinalexis.com. Click on the large button on the right side of the website that says, "Are you guided by your higher self?" Click here to visit the Sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Your experience here will mend your soul's heart and recalibrate your senses to the divine. In addition to receiving access to the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal, your subscription will include a copy of the ebook Robin Song. Access to the special priority forum for subscribers only, to read and to post into, and access to the special calendar for subscribers only to learn about special meditation events that will only be for those who have subscribed. For more in-depth information, check out the Mary Magdalene Reiki Energy Portal on Robin's website, robinalexis.com. It's Robin's hope that future generations will continue to bathe in the light of this sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal.
Alternative Talk 1150 is now being broadcast in digital quality on FM 98.9 HD3. So rejoice, you early adopters of technology.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are just getting rolling on our Labor Day Vet Sunday edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And thanks to our wonderful listener, Gary, we got a call over the break alerting us to the fact that the cougar in Discovery Park apparently was captured. Oh, and there's a photograph on this is the COMO website, is that it?
Rhonda sent the story as well.
Oh, Rhonda did. All right, our webmaster. Well, good for her. She's up on this. So it looks like the cougar, well, it looks like he's been tranquilized and now has a radio collar on him. And so
apparently Mishka was involved from...
Mishka was, yay! So Mishka, our state's first Karelian bear dog, helped in the capture. That's cool. You're reading what it says. 2.5-year-old male, 140 pounds, I can see that. And very good prospect for relocation, it says. GPS collar so they can monitor. And does it say anything about Mishka?
No, it's pretty general with wildlife agents, that sort of thing.
Well, so that's the good news. The cougar has been successfully captured, is alive and well, and a good prospect for relocation. So, woohoo! That's a good thing. And I would assume that means that Discovery Park is open again for the rest of the Labor Day weekend.
It's a big cat.
140 pounds is one heck of a big cat, that's for sure.
Imagine seeing that roaming around.
Yeah, no, that would be quite a sight. I've not actually seen one up close and personal. I certainly have lived out in the country where I live. There were cougar in the area. I didn't do anything on my particular property to attract them, and of course I had my pack of Wafoties that, you know, kept my property pretty free of those kind of big wild animals. So, but yeah, it would be quite an experience to run, especially when you weren't expecting it.
Yeah.
in a neighborhood park or
yeah.
you know, in your
in the
driveway
middle of Seattle,
yeah because there was one fellow got in the morning and the cougar's in his driveway, there's one lady who's driving home and it's in her alley, you know. It's like, well, yeah, that would be an experience.
Yeah, I just read this, it likely was feeding on house cats too.
Well, that's why my kitties walk only outside on their walking jackets and leashes, and they have a cat run that they access outside, but I don't let my cats run free anymore. So, there you go. All right, it is time to get started. Well, we've got something else that just came up that I just found out about, but we'll get our guest on the line here. It is Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the Human Compendium of Articles on the same subject. His website is www.drpluckner.com. And I want to welcome back to Animal World. Good morning, Dr. Al.
Good morning, Martha. Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
All right. Well, before we get started, because I just found out, I guess, when you do, because when Gary was talking to you on the phone on the break, fessed up that, Gary, you had an emergency experience at your household yesterday.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
We made our first ER trip with Finley yesterday.
Now, Finley would be Gary's daughter, who is just, what, just a smidge over two?
Yeah, she turned two at the end of June.
So what happens? Is she okay?
Yeah, she's fine now.
So what happened?
Well, she was just playing like she always does. She's always really active. And
yeah.
And she wasn't really doing nothing. Almost like kind of she gets down with two hands on the ground and 2 feet and puts her head on the ground almost like a I don't know, triangle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just almost like going into a headstand, but obviously not going into a headstand. And all of a sudden,
a little 2-year-old gymnastics.
Kind of, yeah. We were just playing, and I was across the room, and I saw her kind of almost lose her balance doing that and just started bawling. And crying and crying, and when she hurts herself, you know, I usually calm her down, and she gets right back at it. She hurts herself frequently.
Yeah, 2-year-olds do that.
Falls off bikes, that sort of
thing.
Yeah, but
yeah. So she usually recovers quickly,
yeah,
but she didn't
this time?
She
was not recovering, not moving her arm at all, and any time she'd move, she was just bawling. Yeah.
Now, how did you, as dad, that's got to be a killer.
Well,
did it just break your heart?
It did break my heart. And the other part of it was, too, Mary had...
That's your wife?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She was going to get a pedicure and a massage and have a little time to...
So she was gone?
Yeah, so she was
so
gone.
So you were by your dad was alone?
Yeah, so I had to call her right before she's going in to do that. And she came home, and we went to the ER, and I forget the term that they used, but we found out it's somewhat common, although it sounds kind of unbelievable. I guess the elbow kind of popped out of joint slightly.
It was dislocated.
Yeah, and then went back in.
Wow.
That's kind of unusual that it did and went back in.
Well, that's what I wondered, Dr. Al. I mean, obviously you're a veterinarian, but apparently, Gary, you were told by the docs in the ER
that
it's not unusual for children of that age to pop an elbow out of joint?
I guess not. I don't know.
I've never heard of that before.
That's kind of interesting. I haven't either. But, you know, hey, as long as she's okay.
Yeah, once it got back
that's
in,
the point of
fine.
It.
Now, but you said it kind of went back on its own, that they really didn't have to do much to
it. Yeah, they said it goes back, and the theory was because she wasn't moving it at all until... the nurse was trying to deal with her, and she, you know, was fighting her off, and then used her other arm to do it, and that's...
And that popped it back in. Now, was the pain
think.
Stop?
Once yeah, it went, immediately.
Immediately, she was okay once
yeah,
it was back
but,
in.
Oh, it's just, it would break
they probably,
my heart.
They probably talked to you about limiting certain exercises and things that the baby does to make sure that this thing does heal correctly or stays in. You know, if she's got this propensity to pop in and out, then there are certain things that you know, as she grows up, she's going to have to not do.
Really? Yeah, did they talk to you about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, don't lift her with her arms, that sort of thing. So
that seems strange. I mean, you'd think you could lift her by her arms, and you would not get a subluxation or luxation that way.
Now,
the whole thing sounds strange. Well,
now, did
I'm
they say anything about, no, because they said it was fairly common for the elbow, but did they say, was it likely to happen in other joints, too? Does it mean she has loose joints or something, or did they tell you anything about that?
No, they didn't. So
okay, well, Gary, you just got to quit kicking her in the elbow.
I prefer that.
Especially when your wife isn't home.
Yeah.
This is not a good thing. This whole scenario really doesn't sound very good.
No, it was not good at all. Oh, it's just, she was in so
much
pain. I'm
glad she's okay, though. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah,
but you want to keep her okay, too, and make sure that she doesn't do some of this stuff again.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap her up in bubble wrap.
Well,
I would. Well, make her do windows and floors, but, you know, hey.
Oh, yeah. It's got, well, I know, you know, I don't have human children of my own. My animals are my children, but I can relate because to me it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But there's no bigger heartbreak than to see one of your children in pain.
Well, she's running around now and playing and without a second thought, Mary and I are just kind of,
you're walking on eggshells,
still,
holding your breath. Yeah. Wow.
So it's good that she's better, but it was certainly scary.
Well, it sounds like you did the right thing calling Mary.
Well, that'll teach your wife to go get a pedicure.
Right.
Yeah.
No time
I mean,
for you.
That's the point of this whole
herself.
Issue. Yeah.
No, no more pedicures for you, Mary.
It was like her one day. I mean, she never gets a chance to do anything.
Yeah, but
like
you know
that.
That's called Murphy's Law.
I know it is.
And as a parent, you're going to find, you know, you'll plan a great evening to go out do something, and all of a sudden, she's going to run a temperature of 103.
I know.
Hey, I've been there. I've done that.
Yeah, it's also
kind of. But my only justification is now my kids have their children, and now I can get even.
Yeah, there is something to be said being a grandparent. You get to spoil the grandkids.
And trust me. And I worry
don't have
about
to live with them.
As much as their parents do, if not more.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
I think it was nursemaid's elbow. I think that's the...
Nursemaid's elbow?
I think that's the term, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't heard of that. Nursemaid's elbow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, I've heard of that, but I thought it was lifting tankards of beer and stuff. Yeah, nursemaid's elbow.
Now, see,
good,
if Sandy were here,
one.
She'd be on the internet looking, searching and looking that up, and she'd have all kinds of answers.
I'll Google that.
Yeah? Oh,
just
yeah.
See how much it costs.
Oh,
right, Gary?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no kidding, buddy.
Yeah, let's hope you have good insurance, huh?
Yeah, fortunately, we do have insurance.
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right, and she's doing well.
Yeah,
and
she's
we'll
great.
Get Mary out for a pedicure sometime
soon.
No,
she's never leaving.
She's never leaving again, huh? Okay. Yeah, well,
I'm glad
at least...
I'm glad she handled it so well, Gary. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and so, you know, what does Dad do? Panic and call Mom.
Yeah, I waited, but she just wouldn't... I knew something was really wrong, because usually...
Yeah.
She's in pain, you know. So apparently next time you should go for the pedicure and the massage.
Yeah.
Everything will be fine.
Yeah, right.
Have you ever had one?
A massage? No.
No, a pedicure.
No, neither, actually.
It's very good. It's a very cool thing.
Yeah.
He's rolling his eyeballs at me. No,
no
you
it's,
would.
Yeah,
more men should do it. It is. It's a wonderful experience. I'm overdue myself.
Okay.
All right, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour, and then we will get to business that Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Those cats are not happy. All right, let's see. Since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, I want you to mark your calendars for September 26th, 27th for their annual blowout sale. It's absolutely phenomenal. I couldn't believe it. Last year it was so great. And I will be there on Saturday the 26th from 11 to 2 p.m. to answer your animal behavior training and healing questions for free. Be lots of vendors there. There's lots of giveaways, a lot of experts for advice. Buy any dog and cat food. Buy one, get the second one at 50% off, and all kinds of fabulous sales, and my favorite part, free popcorn, free cotton candy, and free espresso. Woohoo! That's the 26th and 27th of September at Jones & Company Pets. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Tired of the insanity of other talk radio stations? Just click your radio knob and say there's no place like Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's the first Sunday of the month, and that means Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and he's got a human compendium of articles on the same subject. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to Dr. Al's website at www.drpluckner.com. Pluckner.com. So, Dr. Al, you are down in California, Southern California.
Right. Yeah, I'm in practice for a while.
Yeah, so you're back in active general practice down there. And anything in particular going on with the animals down there in California this week or this month?
Well, realistically, yeah, there is. You know, we've had a flu epidemic for probably 3 months now, which has never been recognized.
A flu epidemic with animals?
In dogs and cats, yeah.
Wow.
We've had flu for years, and it's never been recognized in my profession. And now all of a sudden an article came out going, oh, my goodness, we've got doggy flu. Now, we've seen this for so many years when it can be environmental. It's always thought, well, you caught it. You know, you're on the airplane. You're here. You're there. Many times when the environment, temperature change is more than 30 degrees or so, I think often we get stressed out.
Mm.
And when that occurs, a lot of the resident viruses take over, and all of a sudden, one, you got the flu.
Oh, so you mean that these viruses are like hanging out in bodies?
They're normal, yeah. They're bacteria, and there's viruses, the whole thing. You stress yourself out, as you know, you can eat a horrible meal.
Mm.
And the next morning have a runny nose and a sore throat. You know, where did that come from?
I see. So the physical body gets stressed out, and then the flu virus has a chance to take hold and cause a problem.
Yeah, you stress out your immune system, it doesn't protect you, and all of a sudden you've got something. So we've seen that, and we've had an influx of which isn't even recognized yet. California by brown recluse spiders.
Oh.
I've seen, between that and black widows this year, I've seen probably, in 2 months, I've seen 51 cases
51
of spider bites.
On animals?
On dogs, yeah, on cats, the whole thing.
So,
family dogs.
Wow. So now a brown recluse bite. Now, I know about that with humans. Aren't they the ones that when they bite, don't you get a horrible infection?
It kills the tissue.
Now, does that same thing happen to an animal if it gets bit?
Absolutely.
So what do you do about it?
Well, basically what you do is you immediately got to open the area up and drain it, if it's not already open, to get the toxins out of there. Then you put them on anti-inflammatories and antibiotics and ointment into the actual bite site that's open, and then watch it very carefully because the animals are systemically ill, and then, if necessary, suture that area up. In most instances, it'll close on its own.
Wow.
And we're seeing more and more and more and more. And it was on, when they Googled it, they said, well, we don't see it in California. Well, when I was in practice many years ago, I saw a number of bites that came from Simi Valley, from semi-arid areas, San Gabriel Valley, and now we're seeing it all over the place. And not so much as brown recluse, but what's happening is in Southern California, because of the drought, you're seeing these spiders move on in.
They are moving from outdoors indoors because
trying to get water.
Trying to get to water.
That's why so many people, as you know, when you get a spider bite, say it's around your eye.
Yeah. Oh, they're trying to get the fluid in your eye.
That's exactly right. They go to the ear and you roll over So this is a big thing, and we're seeing environmental changes. I mean,
I've got another question. So you've got flu in dogs and cats, and we can come back to that because you don't hear about flu in dogs and cats. You hear about, you know, maybe they've got kennel cough or parvo or something, but nobody talks about the flu.
I think it's not recognized, so I don't think it's diagnosed properly. Okay.
All right, and then you've got brown recluse bites going on with animals. You mentioned black widows.
Right,
what happens when a black widow bites?
They can get a tremendous inflammatory area, a reddened area that's raised up that can last sometimes 7 to 10 days if untreated.
So they have a local reaction to the bite?
Right, but
it
goes
doesn't
systemic
kill them?
Too. They're very sick with it.
Oh.
And there have been many instances I've seen cats that, say, have reached out and gotten bitten on their paws, and it shuts off the circulation of that paw.
Oh.
It could be very, very, very toxic. So,
we're seeing
a lot of this. It's not been recognized, but it is there.
So can a black widow spider bite kill a dog or a cat?
I would imagine, depending on where it is, but I haven't seen that so far.
Okay.
And I personally had a number of years ago, a black widow bite on my left leg, on my shin.
Oh, really? How did you know?
Did you
see the spider?
No, I was at my farm, and I was taking some residue garbage up to the front of it for pickup, and apparently got bitten, didn't even know it, had my boots on, it was just above my boots, and went out to dinner that night, and I had this pain that you could not even believe, and that night I couldn't even put a sheet over my leg. It hurt so bad.
Oh, wow.
And then pretty soon, I think it ties up your blood calcium, too, so you get to a point where you can start to shake a little bit, moving towards a seizure. And I kind of then all of a sudden realized, you got nailed, guy. So I started taking anti-inflammatories, antibiotics, and fortunately, I didn't get any death of the tissue, any necrosis, but my left leg literally was light green for 1 year.
A whole year?
Yeah, a whole year.
Was light green?
Light green, yeah, so I've been there and back, and I feel for my animals when this happens. So.
Well, hey, Gary, how glad are we that we live in Seattle in the Great Northwest, and we don't have poisonous spiders up here?
I'd prefer not to have a green leg for a year.
Yeah, or,
I'll tell you what, almost all spiders apparently are poisonous. The only difference is there's some that can break the skin and some that cannot.
Ah.
Okay, and that's your difference, but...
No, we don't need to hear that.
Okay, well, we need to move on. Now we're going to talk about
all spiders are poisonous?
Are thought to be poisonous, from my understanding. It's only those that can break the skin that make the difference.
That cause a problem for humans and animals.
Exactly.
Huh.
And again, I may be wrong on this, but so far I don't think so.
me who just count, you know, one of those great big, I call those dust spiders, or some people call them wolf spiders, those great big hugies that I happened to find for the first time in a very long time. There was one in my house yesterday and hanging out in plain sight. So I just said, all right, hold still. You're getting a ride outside.
Yeah.
And I just captured it with a Kleenex and took it outside.
I
was quite
like
proud of myself, actually.
Like tarantulas can bite you, too, but their bite is not that bad.
But I don't think, do those wolf spiders or those dust spiders, I don't think they bite, do they?
I have no idea.
I don't think they do. I think they just look horrible. I mean, to most people.
I mean, I would think they
could
bite
you. It's taken me a long
though.
Time to be able to actually have a relationship with spiders and of course, be able to gently capture them and remove them outside, especially those big puppies. But I was really proud of myself yesterday because I didn't even flip my cookies. I was like, oh, okay. All right, friend. And as I took them outside, I said, now tell all your friends, stay out of my house. Okay.
Right.
And gave them a ride outside. But, yeah. Okay, so you got spider bites, brown recluse, and black widows going on down there. You got flu going on with the animals. I'm wondering also, are you in the fire area down there?
Oh, I'm not personally in the fire area, and you know, fortunately we haven't had the winds. But if you came down to Southern California, and you, especially Malibu, you look at the mountains, it's all ready to go. I mean, it looks like kindling. It's very, very...
Very dry?
Horribly dry. Yeah, we've had a drought year now, and it's just, you know, and thank goodness we didn't have the Santa Anas, because there would be no control of any of these fires. You know, and the fire personnel is doing a great job, and it's kind of amazing. I mean, if you live in Southern California, you should expect brush fires, earthquakes, you know, all those good things that Mother Nature has dropped upon these people.
And, well, but you are not seeing any animals that have been affected by the fires at this point.
No, not this time, because I had before when I was down here.
Uh-huh.
And I had my wildlife preserve up in Calabasas. I saw a number of animals that I treated from Agoura and all the fires, so on and so forth.
But that was wildlife, not domestic animals?
Well, that was wildlife and one domestic. I mean, we had a fallow fawn, if you will, fallow deer fawn. The poor little guy got his hooves burned off and worked with him. Anyway, I call him, unfortunately, call him Crispy Critter.
Oh, dear.
C-squared, and he got through it. We made it. He did okay.
All right.
Hooves came back the whole bit. So, no, I've treated a lot of burn patients, unfortunately. But you get into mixed situations, too, where there was in the burn area, there was a mama cougar and her cub that she basically was just looking for something to feed the baby. And, you know, at that time, the fish and game put out a predator tag for somebody.
Mm.
You know, and so, yeah, it's fires hurt everybody.
Yeah.
They hurt the animals. They hurt all the wildlife, you know. It's not a happy situation. I know it's sometimes Mother Nature's way of getting rid of the worms and things and the oak trees and so on and so forth, and it brings up new growth, which is fine as long as it's not a hellacious fire with hellacious winds.
Well, apparently this last fire, they have determined that it was arson.
That's what they said.
Yeah, which is really a shame.
Unfortunately, two firefighters rolled their truck.
And were killed.
Yeah.
What a shame. All right, we need to wrap up this hour, and we've got Vet Sunday going on, folks, until noon today. We are going to run Martha's four-step flea plan right now, so stay tuned to that if you want to get rid of fleas on your animals and in your environment without the toxic chemicals. That's playing next. Then we'll be back with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, The Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance.